So if you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, we actually have three texts that we'll be dealing with this morning. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And then in Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And then 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, last week we preached on Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, where the two preeminent duties of a pastor are clearly affirmed. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In our last message, we considered the first duty mentioned, namely prayer. Today we will address the second duty mentioned, the ministry of the word. In the immediate context of this statement, the ministry of the word is clearly preaching, but we will take a closer look at it. Now, in Acts chapter 6, we asked ourselves the question, what is the meaning of the word in the ministry of the word? In our vernacular, most Christians understand the term the word as the Bible, the word of God. And this is true in a very general sense. But more specifically, in regards to preaching to the lost, it's the truth of the gospel message. God is a personal God, and he communicates to man through his word. In apostolic times, his word was comprised of the Old Testament and the revelation that came through Christ and his apostles under inspiration. Indeed, Christ is given the title in the Gospel of John of the Word. For he is the perfect revelation of God, and all revelation culminated in him, as we read of in Hebrews 11 or Hebrews 1:2. We understand the Word of God to be comprised of 66 books, with the canon being closed, the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, which we call Scripture, God's written word. Now, the word translated ministry in the ministry of the word is diakonia, which means service. We get the term deacon from it. It means to give unremitting care to something, to be fully devoted to. It means to persist in and to continue steadfastly in. In other words, to be completely given over to it. And the apostles were completely given over to the ministry of the word. And for our message today, I want to consider three important aspects in regards to the ministry of the word. First, the authority of preaching. Secondly, the content of preaching. And third, the preparation for preaching. First, the authority of preaching. Where does our authority come from? Does it come from a strong personality in the pulpit, or one's power of argumentation, or one's eloquence in preaching? Does it come from an elevated and forceful voice? And the answer to these questions is absolutely not. The preacher's authority comes from, and only comes from, the authority of the Word of God, Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration. And here we see that Scripture is described as the very breath of God. The Greek word theopneumatos means God breathed, and which means that it speaks with divine authority, God's authority. And the Greek word translated Scripture, graphe, refers to the written revelation of God, the inscripturated revelation. So we understand then Scripture to be the entire canon, the 66 written books of the Old and New Testament. Now Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:20 concerning Scripture. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. This is not man writing down his own thoughts and opinions. For the prophecy then came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. For God supernaturally in His sovereignty guided the biblical authors to write the exact things He wanted expressed. Paul says, all Scripture, every Scripture is God-breathed or is given by inspiration. Not just parts of it, but every part of it, every word of it, all the nuances of the original languages, the syntax, the word order, the verb tenses. Every Scripture is given by inspiration. So the authority of Scripture is absolute because God is its author, and for no other reason. Why is Scripture of absolute authority to the Christian? Because God is the author. Because God is absolute truth, His Word is infallible. Because God cannot lie, His Word is inerrant. Because God is sovereign over all, the Creator of heaven and earth, His Word is absolute and supreme. So in preaching, God and His Word are presupposed to be ultimate and absolute. This is the first and overshadowing presupposition for a truly biblical approach to preaching. There is no higher authority for man in knowledge or reasoning. God is absolute, and His revelation comes to man with absolute authority. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, all-sufficient Word of God. God's Word is absolute because He is its author. Therefore, the final criterion and standard for all truth and knowledge is the Word of God. If you do not believe this, then you have no business preaching, for you will have no authority for what you say. But where the Bible is esteemed as inspired and inerrant, preaching can flourish. All preaching should be an explanation or an exposition in application of texts of Scripture, not the philosophy of man, not what's comes to us as the philosophy of psychology, the philosophy of the current themes of this day. Not the philosophy of politics, No, all preaching should be the exposition and application of texts of Scripture. Our authority as preachers rises and falls by our manifest allegiance to the text of Scripture. Our messages must be saturated with the Word of God. And if we fail to honor the Scriptures in our preaching, we will dishonor God. If we disregard and twist and distort the truth that He has revealed, then it's an offense to the author of Scripture. If we mishandle the Word, we misrepresent the one who wrote it, it's an offense to God. If we reject any of its claims, if we believe any part to be not inspired, then we call God a liar. So, brethren, preaching is serious business. Now, the second aspect of the ministry of the Word that I want to consider is the content of preaching. And again, we turn to the Scripture. One of the fundamental attributes of Scripture is that it is all sufficient. It is all sufficient to address all of man's needs, all of man's conditions, and all of man's experiences. Preaching is the application of Scripture to the life. Scripture can be applied to any given situation. And the Bible is a living book that convicts us and instructs us and strengthens us and empowers us to grow. Scripture is sufficient as our only rule of faith. That is what we believe, and our only rule of practice. That is how we live our lives. It is the standard of our Christian conduct. And it is only through Scripture that we gain true knowledge of God, who God is, who man is, and what relationship man has to God as a sinner. How man can be reconciled to God. And God's divine provision for man to save man from his lost condition. Here is found all that man needs to be taught and to learn about God. All that he needs to make him wise unto salvation. And through Scripture, sinners are evangelized. Through Scripture, the faith is defended, not through evidences. There is nothing in God's created universe that cannot be addressed from Scripture. Scripture is all sufficient. So we return to 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And here we see four profitable benefits of Scripture that are listed for us. It describes the tremendous effect of God-breathed Scripture on its hearers. It is profitable, we're told, for doctrine. Didaskalion. That is teaching or instruction. Teaching instructs one by way of content. It's the doctrinal teaching of Scripture that is to govern our thinking and rule our lives. Doctrinal truth is to have a profound effect upon the believer's life. Paul exhorted Timothy, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt both save thyself and those that hear thee. Secondly, Scripture is profitable for reproof. In the sense of this word, reproof is that of refuting error or rebuking error. It is profitable to the refutation of every religious lie and false teaching. It is by use of Scriptures that man's false reasonings are cast down, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and every thought is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Third, it is profitable for correction. The sense of the word in the original for correction has reference to our Christian conduct and behavior. For indeed, the Word of God is our standard, how we should live our lives. And we need to be corrected when we stray off course. The Word of God convicts the sinner of sin. The term translated correction can also refer to restoration, for restoring a sinner back from a fallen state, one who has fallen into sin and guilt. So Scripture is profitable for correction. And finally, in the fourth place, it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. This gives the sense of training, as training a child, educating and training a child. Training and instruction is to produce right living, right conduct, which Paul refers to as righteousness. These are some of the purposes for preaching from the text of Scripture and the doctrines taught therein. The content of preaching, then, is the text of Scripture and all Scripture and doctrine taught therein. The same four purposes of Scripture are reflected in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the Word. This is Paul instructing. Paul's in prison for the second time. His pending martyrdom awaits him, and he instructs Timothy. And he says, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. How? Preach the Word. The Scriptures. Well, finally, we've looked at the authority of preaching. We've looked at the content of preaching. And now, the preparation for preaching. The third aspect of the ministry of the Word that I'd like to address now is the preparation for preaching. To give yourself to the ministry of the Word presupposes that you are prepared to preach the Word. A preacher is to be a student and expounder of Scripture. The preacher who has received a message from God to communicate to the hearers, he finds it in the Word of God. And hence, the primary qualification of a minister is to have an intimate familiarity with the Word of God. A large portion of our work, the greatest portion of our work, is studying and searching the Scriptures. And a preacher must always strive to be like Apollos, mighty in Scripture. For the voice of God is found and heard in His Word. I'm going to turn to Timothy 2:15, if you're still in there. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What is study? The English word study derives from the Latin word studio, which means to dedicate oneself to direct all of one's effort or attention to strive after. So indeed, study is the devotion of our time, our energy, and our attention to acquiring biblical knowledge, especially by means of books and in particular, the Bible. It's a detailed investigation and analysis of the Word of God, a skilled acquisition of the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, in the original, in the Greek, the verb translated study is spoudazo. It means very similar to what we've just described. It means to exert oneself, to give diligence, to strive eagerly, to be earnest in, to make a very strong effort to. And it's an aorist imperative verb. What does that mean? Well, it denotes that this duty is to be performed, that is, studying the Word of God, giving yourself over to understanding the Word of God and being diligent in it. This aorist imperative means to do that with determination and with resolve. It's a duty that must be done with determination and resolve. And without that, you cannot be a preacher. For you cannot preach what you do not know. All, I think all of this is embodied in what the King James translates as study. Study. Give diligence and make every effort in the discharge of our ministerial duty, of which preaching is the primary duty, that it meet with divine approval. Paul exhorts Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. See, the object of preaching is not to please man, but to please God. We must always be faithful to the Word of God. And the sense of this adjective, approved, is that of being tested. Being tested and proven to be faithful to the Word of God. We may receive the disapproval of men. We may be highly criticized by men. We may be corrected by men who think they are right. But that is of no consequence if we maintain the approval of God. We are servants of Christ and seek only the approval of our Master. Many preachers seek the approval and praise of men, but are disapproved by God. We live in a generation of contemporary Christianity where it's all about pleasing men. It's all about their needs and not the glory of God. It's all about providing for them. The worship service is about music and giving you a feel-good feeling, warm and fuzzy feeling. It's all to please men. But preaching is to please God. And to please God is to have His approval. In the next clause, Paul elaborates on what it is to be approved of God. He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That is, a man faithfully performing his duty, a man given over to the careful and diligent study of the Word of God. A workman is a skilled craftsman who takes his craft seriously, who continues to labor and improve upon his skill. A preacher who takes, for a better lack of a better term, pride in what he does. That he does a good work. That he does a detailed and exact work. A craftsman. How seriously then do some of you preachers out there, and myself, and Pastor Downey, how seriously do you take the study of God's Word? How often and what time do you give and set apart to the study of God's Word? What sacrifices have you made in order that you might study God's Word? For you cannot separate preparation from preaching. I know there are times and circumstances which do not allow for preparation that comes to us in the providence of God. And I'm not talking about those situations where we must be instant or earnest in season and out of season. But preaching without preparation is presumptuous, and we cannot expect the blessing of God. We labor in our study of God's Word to prove ourselves acceptable or faithful to God. A workman who needeth not to be ashamed, that is, to be shamed by our lack of skill in the Word of God. To be shamed by our negligence and sloth in the study of the Word of God. To be lukewarm rather than earnest in this duty. Men who are not committed to the study of God's Word do not qualify as ministers. In 1 Timothy 5:7, Paul refers to elders, to those who labor in word and doctrine. And finally, Paul says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the Greek word translated rightly dividing literally means cutting a straight line. And the Pastor Downey has spoken to us often in dealing with this text about the Apostle Paul, who was raised in Tarsus, the capital city of the Roman province of Cilicia in Asia Minor. And Cilicia was famous for its goat hair cloth called Cilicium, which was also used to make tents. Paul became a tent maker before he entered his rabbinic studies in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. The skill, or his apprenticeship, would have been based upon strict discipline and demanding standards. The skill of this sort of trade would be vested in how straight he could cut the cilicium and how well they could sew the seams and make them strong and waterproof. Paul would have learned from an early age the craft of cutting straight sections of cilicium cloth. So I think Paul, in the back of his mind, as he writes this text, cutting straight the Word of God, is using an analogy. To rightly divide the Word of truth means to handle God's truth accurately, to teach the Word of God correctly, to rightly interpret it, and to rightly apply it. To rightly divide the Word of truth requires comprehensive knowledge of Scriptures, good judgment, and of course, spiritual discernment. Preaching requires careful preparation. It goes without saying. And preparation, in turn, requires an investment of time to study and master the text of Scripture you're preaching on. The task of preaching is to set forth what the text contains, to interpret then and to apply the text with its real meaning and sense is one of the preacher's most sacred duties. Paul exhorted Timothy in his first epistle to Timothy. He said, "Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." He said, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." A man called to preach must be thoroughly acquainted with the Word of God. He must be a man that meditates on the law of God day and night. And he stands before the people for the very purpose of teaching and exhorting them out of the Word of God. Let me close with an anecdote about John Brodus, one of the founding fathers of the first, or the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, who wrote the definitive work, by the way, on the preparation and delivery of sermons. In his last classroom lecture, just a few days before he died, he exhorted his students to be like Apollos, to be men mighty in Scripture. And then, as A.T. Robertson tells the story, he paused and looked at them and repeated over and over again, "Mighty in Scripture, mighty in Scripture." So as we consider then the ministry of the Word, we have just looked at three important aspects of it, and by no means have exhausted the subject. But we have considered the authority of preaching, the content of preaching, and the preparation for preaching. May God help us preachers, and may this congregation pray for its preachers. We pray, O Lord, for the pulpit ministry, the ministry of the Word in this congregation. Pray that you would pour out your blessing upon it and feed us from your Word. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.